It's good to be with you and to share with you again from the Word of God. We're grateful that you have joined us again today. And today we're going to be in Psalm chapter 8, so if you'd like to turn your Bibles there, you may. Have you ever wondered just what is my place in this world that we live in? Have you ever wondered, why did God put me here? I think that good old David may have been wondering something like that, but perhaps on even a grander scale. It is, what is the place of man in this world? Why did God put man here? And so we're going to look at that as he talks about it in Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8 is a beautiful hymn of praise to God written by David. It begins and ends with this word of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name on the earth. And it'll begin there, Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, and Psalm chapter 8, verse 8. Because the psalm speaks of God's creation, it's really interesting because it seems almost as if David is looking out at the stars at night. And some folks think this is an appropriate song to sing of an evening. And so frequently, interestingly enough, the sermon on this text is an evening sermon. Or it's a song that we've put to words, put music to, that we sing on an evening as we think about God and as we look up at the stars and see all that's going on. It speaks of God and His creation and man's place in His creation. So we begin at chapter 8, verse 1, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who has displayed your splendor above the heavens. Notice it's, O Lord, our Lord. Do you notice there are two different spellings for Lord? One with all caps and one that's a capital and then small letters, O-R-D. And in reality, those are two different words. The first word, Lord, with all caps, really is God's name. It is, in Hebrew, it's the consonants Y-H-W-H. And it's Yahweh or something like that. We're not quite sure how to pronounce it because the Jews would never pronounce God's name. They took it very seriously. Don't take God's name in vain, and so they're not even going to pronounce God's name. So they don't do it. Instead, they would come to that word and they would say, Adonai, Lord, instead of saying His name. But the second time you get it is Lord in the sense of master. Oh, Yahweh, our master. God, you are in charge. You're the one who's ruling. You're the one who's done all of these wonderful things. And then he goes on to say, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That word majestic is another interesting word. It's majestic, great, glorious, excellent. And in fact, some translations even translate it, how excellent is your name. We even sing it that way sometimes. Some of the songs will have excellent. God's name, His person, who He is, what He's all about, is magnificent. It's majestic. It's glorious. It's grand. And it's been displayed in splendor above the heavens. And so heaven itself tells us who God is. And again, you can kind of imagine good old David remembering his shepherding days when he's out there watching those sheep at night and looking up at the stars and saying, oh, God made those. God's in charge. He's wonderful. He's magnificent. He set His name above the heavens. And so notice He set His name. He's made folks realize it. He's displayed it. And it's above the heavens. It's greater than, more magnificent than the heavens, the universe. The universe is pretty big, but God is bigger than the universe. He's greater than the universe. And so that becomes important for us. He goes on to say, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make every enemy and revengeful cease. Now, interesting language yet again. God can silence His enemies through the praises of little children. He's not threatened by His enemies, by Satan himself. He's not threatened by that at all. He's in charge. Even the praises of little children defeat the devil. And so that becomes really important to us. You may remember a text in Matthew chapter 21 where Jesus has gone back into the temple again, and it's near the end of His life, and He's gone there, and He is doing some miracles and doing some wonderful things, and the children are proclaiming, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law are all indignant by this. They're saying, Jesus, do you hear what those children are saying? Well, make them stop that. And Jesus' response is to quote this psalm. Have you never heard from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Even they will praise God. And so that becomes really something that is quite magnificent. Even children do it. It's interesting that the kids got onto something that the adults didn't quite get in Jesus' day. They're already proclaiming him to be this Messiah. He's the son of David. And that's another way of saying he's Messiah. And they understand it. But do the chief priests and teachers of the law get it? No, they don't see that. They've missed it. But Jesus has sort of put them to an end. Eventually, Jesus, as Messiah, is going to bring the crushing defeat to Satan, the great enemy and foe of God, and he's going to be put to an end, and the children praise that. What a wonderful bit of information, isn't it? Again, this is a marvelous psalm. It's only 8 short verses, but I think it's one that really causes us to think very seriously. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? He begins by talking about how big the universe is and how small we really are. The universe is pretty big. When I consider the heavens, the universe, which are the work of your fingers. Now, does God really have fingers as we have fingers? No, he's spirit, right? He doesn't have fingers, but he's using that, to indicate that God is intimately involved in creation. His hand is on it. He's doing it. And so it's a magnificent thing he does. He creates the universe and the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Again, this is probably the reason a lot of folks think we ought to do this of an evening, because we could go outside and look up and see the moon and the stars as good old David probably had. And we'll be looking at the same moon and stars that he was looking at. And we'll see all of that. In a very real way, though, we realize the universe is much bigger than he did even. Our planet is one of the smaller planets. It's smaller than a lot of the other planets. The other planets are bigger. And the sun is much larger than even that. And our sun is even smaller than some of those stars out there. Many of the stars, most of the stars. We have a bigger grasp of the universe than David did in his day. But we have to say with him, indeed, God is magnificent. He's created all of that. And it's so big. It's so marvelous. And he, again, this is, I think, is interesting. It is this intimate creation of God. When you look at the universe around us and the things around us, we see God's creation. We see God's creation in the mountains around us. We would see it if we were near the ocean. We would see it when the trees are ablaze in the fall with reds and yellows and greens. It's all those magnificent colors. That's clearly God at work. Interestingly enough, we get to see it every day in our backyard, on our back deck, because we have these things to feed the birds. And so we feed the birds, but we also feed the squirrels. And so sometimes we'll have 5 or 6 or 7 squirrels on our back deck. But that's, again, something that's magnificent, and it's part of God's creation. And he sees this creation. God is creator, and he's in charge of all of that. And that's really, really important for us. And then he says, you know what? When I think about that, I kind of wonder. When you think of how grand the universe is and how big all of that is, I have to be rather humble, and I'm a bit amazed at God's care for us. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You see, that big universe out there is really important. If you're a big Star Trek fan, you'll remember all of those aliens from worlds round about, and they're all supposedly coming to the Earth, and we see all of that with Star Trek. One author, a man named Larry Norman, wrote a song, and he said, if there's life on other planets, I'm sure that God knows about those, and he's been there once already, and he's probably died to save their souls from sin as well. If there were other folks out there, God's in charge of it all. And he makes a big deal of that in his song. I think it's really important. We're not alone in this universe. God's with us. And then he says it's kind of amazing when I think about it that God is mindful of us. what is man? And that's interestingly enough, not a gender kind of word. It's not male people. It's man, mankind. What is God in terms of mankind? And it's a kind of interesting word, a poetic word in Hebrew that talks about man's frail human existence. What is man that you take thought of him, that you remember him? He is mindful of us. He remembers us. What a wonderful thought. And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Notice, Son of Man. Again, in Hebrew, if you wanted to make an adjective, you put an of phrase with it. You remember the James and John, the sons of Zebedee, because they're noisy like good old thunder. They're sons of thunder. They're noisy guys. Son of Man is people who have the characteristics of man. And that you care for him. Visit him. Come to his aid, rescue him, pay attention to him. God remembers us. And why should he remember us and pay attention to us at all? We're humbled by all of that. And it really is something that's quite amazing, isn't it? God cares for us. He's in charge of everything around us. We read on. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, probably the heavenly beings, and you crown him with glory and majesty. Interestingly enough, the word translated God there is a word that's really a plural word that is sometimes used of gods, and it's sometimes used of God, but it's also sometimes used, it's a word that means majestic ones. And it really is sometimes used of heavenly beings. If you're reading this text in your New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, you'll notice the author of Hebrews will translate it angels, because that's how he sees it. He sees this as God made him a little lower than angels. And man is a little lower than angels. You know, we are human beings made out of dust. We're not spirit beings like they are. And the little why, the a little lower could either be a little bit lower or for a while lower. Interestingly enough, these verses are all quoted by the author of Hebrews. What is man that you are mindful of him? And that's Jesus. It's not because he's Son of Man in that special way that he's Son of Man with a capital S, but he's Son of Man. He's a human being. He came as a human being. And it's interesting, not a male person. He came as a human being, ladies. He came like you too, like us. He came as a human being. And he was made a little lower, or for a little while lower than the angels, because he took on flesh and he became like us, and he wasn't an angel. And you have crowned him with glory and majesty. And there's that word majestic again, majesty. You crown him with glory and majesty. You've given him some special place. You make him special. What is there that's special about us anyhow? Why are we as human beings special to God? You'll remember, if you go back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We've been made in the image of God. And that makes us glorious and majestic and important, because somehow we're like God. What greater honor could God bestow on us as specific members of his creation than to create us in his own image? He created animals, but they're not in the image of God. He created stars. They're not in the image of God. He's created angels, but they're not in the image of God. We're in the image of God. Mankind is significant to God. We've been created in God's image. And interestingly enough, he's going to go on to say, and you made him rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. We're in charge of the universe. God put us in charge. He gave us a job to do, but he's put us in charge of the universe. We're in charge of the animals on the ground, over the fish in the air, over the fish in the sea. And we're going to see that in just the next verse in just a moment. But God has done some wonderful things for us. Again, reading on in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Interestingly enough, work isn't part of the curse that calls on man because they sinned. Adam had work from day one. We're made to have a job to do. And not having a job to do isn't part of moving beyond the curse of sin. We have a job to do. And he creates man, and he puts him in the garden to work it and take care of it. To work it, to serve it, that's the Hebrew word there. And to take care of it, to keep it, to guard it, to watch over it, to protect it. And so we are in charge of this wonderful universe. Again, that becomes seen is seen very clearly in the part of Jesus. Because again, when Jesus is here, he's in charge of the universe. He's in charge of the weather. He can make the storm stop. He can walk on water. He can heal folks who have terrible diseases. He does all of these wonderful things. And you see in a very real way, it's clearly that we've been put in charge of these things. But you see it happening with Jesus. The things he's in charge of comes next. All the sea, sheep of the and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. Those are the things that are put under our care. We're supposed to take care of those things because, again, he's created us with that special call. The call that went all the way back to our man, Adam, in the very beginning. And then it ends with this phrase, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. So what's the conclusion to all of this text? What's really important? What have we learned from this wonderful psalm? First, we should be struck with the awesomeness of God's majesty in creation. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's how David saw it. Something wonderful. Secondly, we should be amazed at God's love and concern for us. What is man that you are mindful of him and that you take care of him? Mankind's pretty special to God, and that's us. God cares about us. He cares about us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. He cares about us. He's taken care of us. He provides for us. And then the third thing, we should seek to be good, faithful stewards of God's creation. You see, he's put us in charge of this universe, and we're responsible for it. You know, we got to take care of things like trees. My wife is really big about folks tearing down trees to build parking lots. You know, she doesn't like that because trees are important. You know, that's the way that we're able to breathe because of trees, and everything grows because. But we're in charge of this universe, and so the ecology is something that Christians have to be concerned about. God has done it. God has given us rulership and responsibility. As Christians, we must be wise rulers over the beautiful creation that God has made for us, that he's given us. This is a wonderful psalm. I really like it. Again, we begin and we end with this call that God is majestic, and then we talk about the creation that he's made, and then we talk about mankind, and then we come back again and say, creation is important. The whole story of creation, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, are important for us to read. I know it's a part of what happened way back when, way back before time, but it's more than that. It's a call for us to realize our place in this universe and to take good care of the universe in which we live. I hope you have enjoyed our study in these psalms. This may be the last of the psalms I'll do for a while, but I wanted to do this one to kind of end up with this one because I thought it was a good one to kind of close our study in the psalms with. And I hope you've enjoyed this study in the book of Psalms. Indeed, we are God's creation, and he cares about us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. And it's entirely possible that folks are hearing this kind of message and they need to respond to that message today. If you've heard the story of Jesus, and you've heard about God's creation and God's care for us, and is taking care of us from the very beginning, and he's taking care of us so much that he sent his son to die for us, and you need to respond to that message, we'd be happy to help you do that. If you need to confess Jesus as Lord and be buried in baptism, just let us know, and we'll make sure everything is ready for you to come to the building here and to be baptized and to become a Christian. Again, we're going to sing this closing song, but it gives you some time to think about your role in this universe. Let's sing the closing song, please. Let me share with you a few announcements as we close. Let me again read for you the special announcement that came from the elders here. Out of an abundance of caution,
the elders have decided that we should wait until March the 7th to return to in-person worship services. We recognize the uncertainty of this pandemic and the need to depend on virtual online services has been a hardship for many of you. We are also cautiously optimistic that the available vaccines will provide opportunity for a real end to the situation so that we can come together in person once again very soon. If you need, if you need further communion sets, you can pick those up at the multipurpose room. We have those all available for you now, and you may call ahead to make sure that Ethan will be in the office. Normally, he's in the office from 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock every day so that you can pick those up. Let me share with you a few announcements about some of our sick folks. Charles Sams is now home from the hospital. He is now under hospice care there. Again, he needs hospice care because of some things that Nancy just can't do for him, and they will come and give her some aid there, and we're grateful that he's home. Keep in your prayers also Lois Morris. She's had a reaction to the chemo, spent more time in the hospital. You might like to drop her a line and just tell her that you're thinking of her. I got a note from Karen Hoover just before I got up this morning. I got up here this morning. She's going home from the hospital today. You'll remember that she had back surgery, and then after the back surgery, she came down with pneumonia and was back in the hospital again. But she's going home today, and so please keep her in your prayers as she continues to recuperate. Geneva Crum, Stephanie Pride's grandmother, plans to go to Heartland in Marietta on Tuesday if all goes well. She's recovering from COVID, and so keep her in your prayers. Remember the Hills, Bob and Pat, they're, I think, back home again, not confined to home again. Bob is back at work, and so they're making progress in that regard. You also may remember Ben Blackwell and his now wife, Katie. She was then his girlfriend. He's now ministering as a youth minister for a church in Ohio, and both of them have come down with COVID. And so they're both recuperating from the COVID, and they're prayerful that their little son won't get it. So we want to keep their son Logan in our prayers as well. And so please keep all of that in mind. I think those are all the announcements that are sort of new things for you that we can keep in mind. For some folks who don't have access to the internet, you might tell them that we indeed are meeting in person and doing these services in person. And if there are some folks like that, they can be really distanced because there will be just a few folks here, but you can come on Sunday and be with us if you need to do that. And so these services and the class are all taught live, the class at 9:30 and worship at 10:30. But again, you're welcome to be a part of it if you need to. Again, we're not going to be meeting as a group, but for just a few folks who don't have access to the internet, or access to this, we're going to make it possible for them to come to the building. So if you need to do that, feel free to do that. Thank you so much for being with us today. We hope our lessons have been meaningful to you, and we'll proceed from there. And again, I did want to remind you that we're going to start a new study in the book of Acts. I'll begin on Wednesday with an introduction to the book of Acts, and we'll probably do a little bit of chapter 1, but the rest of chapter 1 next Sunday. So again, we'll be studying the book of Acts in our Bible classes on Sunday and Wednesday. So please keep that in mind as well. Let's bow for a prayer as we close. Dear Lord, again, we thank you so much for the ways that you bless us. We're grateful indeed that you're creator of this universe and that you made it so beautiful and wonderful that it makes it very clear to us that you're in charge. We're grateful that you prepared for man. We're grateful that you care about mankind, us, so much so that you sent your son to die for us. We're grateful that he came and that he died for us. We're mindful of those folks, Lord, that need you in a special way. We pray you'd continue to be with Charles Sams, with Lois Morris, with Karen Hoover as she recuperates, with Geneva Crum, with the Hills after they're recuperating, and be with Ben and Katie and little Logan Blackwell. We pray you'd be with them as they recuperate from COVID. We're mindful of this terrible disease that's around us here in our culture and in our world. We're mindful of it. We're mindful of the folks now who are being able to get those shots. We pray, Lord, that everybody could eventually get those and that we could move beyond that and that we could be back to being in person again. and get to give hugs and handshakes and all of those things that we've missed so much. We thank you, Lord, again, for your Son, and we pray in his name. Amen.